Welcome to Preaching and Preachers, a weekly podcast devoted to those who preach and to the task of preaching itself. I'm your host, Jason Allen, president of Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. Today, I want to welcome Dr. Dale Johnson to the podcast. Dr. Johnson serves here at Midwestern Seminary as associate professor of biblical counseling and is the executive director of the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors. He's also host of the ACBC's Truth in Love podcast. Dr. Johnson, welcome to Preaching and Preachers.
Dr. Allen, man, it's so great to be with you. Thanks for the invitation.
Yeah, I'd like to have you on the podcast today. You live in Kansas City and serve on our faculty, but we are not having this recording in person. You are in your home makeshift studio, and I am in my on-campus studio. And we're talking today in the midst of the coronavirus crisis. And we'll be talking together about leading your people to overcome fear. Now, before we get into the topic today, I guess just a word of update on you and your family and what's new with you guys, and even a word or two of update on ACBC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the family's doing wonderful. We have now settled, certainly in Kansas City, adjusted really well here to the seminary. It's been a great blessing to our family, and settled into a church here, which has been a delight for us as well. Enjoying the house that the Lord has provided for us here. And update on ACBC, the Lord is really being very, very kind to us where there's interest in biblical counseling, and churches are looking forward to this type of training. And I think, you know, the issue that we're dealing with now with the coronavirus is really exponentially allowing us to minister to pastors who are in such need of learning even further how to do personal ministry to their people. One other thing that's really exciting is we're seeing some excitement outside of the U.S. Right now on the books, we have about 20 countries that are inviting us to come and do training. And, you know, that's a good problem to have, that it's a burden for us, but that's a good issue. And so we're looking forward to ways that we can meet those demands and serve the Church of Christ in all of those areas.
Now, of those 20 countries, is there any regional trend, or are they clustered on a particular continent, or what can you say about them?
No, they're quite spread out, actually. And right now we see excitement and interest in almost every continent, Australia, Asia, Africa. We're seeing in Europe in multiple places, multiple locations. And God has been doing work among several people. Many of our training centers through ACBC have done work overseas as well, particularly in South America and in Spanish-speaking countries. And so we're just seeing excitement in those areas. And a lot of those places and countries are wanting to formulate a standard like what ACBC provides as a certifying organization to help their churches be organized and network well in this type of biblical soul care.
Well, that's encouraging to hear. Well, we're talking today about leading your people to overcome fear. As you and I record this conversation, it's March 26th, and the nation is focused upon the reality of the coronavirus and then the financial disruption, the economic disruption taking place in concert with that. And as I have watched this pandemic the past several weeks, and again, the financial disruption and uncertainty that has come from it, I've just been struck by how powerful an emotion fear is. A number of years ago, I was talking to a good friend who's also a supporter of Midwestern Seminary, and he was made his living as an investor of money. And he made the comment to me once. He said, Jason, you know, the two most powerful emotions in the stock market are greed and fear. Of course, greed on the one end and fear on the other, but fear is a more powerful emotion than greed. And that statement has always kind of stuck with me. And as I've been out in society the past 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks, there's just a lot of fear out there. Fear over the virus, not merely the fear of getting it or a loved one getting it, but the unknown associated with it. What exactly is the death rate? Like how broad do we expect this to spread? What does this mean for my health and my family's health and my loved one's health? And then of course, coming with that is just the financial disruption, where we have seen these dramatic sell-off in the major stock markets. And then we've seen major layoffs occurring throughout American corporations. And again, economic uncertainty. I mean, for the average person in society, probably the two categories of fear that most dominate them would be fear related to their health and fear related to their financial well-being. And so these two factors kind of come together into just this swirling sense of uncertainty and unpredictability and of dread and of fear. Now, as believers in Christ, we ought to be stronger than that, and we ought to be mindful of who we are in Christ and mindful of the great truths of Scripture theologically about who God is and His character and His sovereignty and so forth. But even as Christians and even as pastors listening to this podcast, even as they are aware of those realities, they're not always as aware of them as they ought to be. And so today in our conversation, I want us to talk about this very scenario and how to encourage our listeners, again, who tend to be pastors and ministers, seminary students, how to encourage them to shepherd their people, to lead their people through this season of fear, and how to process that fear, how to right-size that fear, and we might even say how to overcome that fear. So I guess my first question for you, Dale, would be, help us to understand fear from a biblical theological perspective as to maybe what causes it and what phenomenologically that feels like, that seems to be like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great question, and I think it's a wonderful place to start. Oftentimes, we look at fear in a particular way, and then from that fear, we try to respond to a particular issue or problem. I think we have to begin in a theological position. I'm going to say something that's quite shocking. I think we begin in a place theologically where the Bible makes very clear that we are all created to fear. When we hear that, we often think, you know, we focus on problems of fear and we want to respond and never fear. We want to run to peace and try and seek peace. Well, the problem is that we were created to fear God and fear God alone. What starts to happen now with the fall and the curse is we begin to fear things other than God. And what we begin to see as the story of Scripture unfolds is as we begin to have earthly and worldly mindsets where we fear things that are circumstantial, we fear things that are earthly and worldly, we become unstable, as James chapter 1 describes very clearly. When sufferings occur and we lose the wisdom of God or we don't understand the wisdom of God, we begin to be shaken, as James would write there. We begin to be a double-souled man. And so we are initially created to fear. The way we understand these problems is couched within that. And so we have to see that what's happening is we're fearing inappropriate things. And I think what we see unfolding with both the economic situation and more particularly maybe the health situation is we have lived for quite some time under this sort of facade that our health is okay. We're in control of that. If we eat right and we do these things well, then we're in control. When something like a pandemic occurs, we begin to see we're not quite as in control as what we thought, you know. And if we ask the question, like, which one is more like true reality, we know scripturally speaking that all of us could die at any minute. The Bible says life is a vapor. And so what we're seeing now is really a true sense of what God says the world is really like, that we're not in control. And so we respond in that way because we feel like we're losing control. We respond in fear and anxious thoughts and deep cares and that sort of thing when we feel like we're losing control. And so the Lord begins to couch that fear. And the answer, which we'll get to in a second, I'm sure, is the Lord tries to redirect and reroute our fear in the way in which He designed us to operate.
You know, you began your answer to my question really unpacking the fact that fear in of itself is not a bad emotion. And that's true. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Bible teaches us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And many people became followers of Christ because of a fear of death, a fear of hell, a fear of an eternity separated from God. And so the point we're trying to make here, and we want to tread carefully and intentionally, is not that fear as a category, fear as an emotion altogether, is unbiblical or unwise or unreasonable, but rather what we fear and why we fear and how we handle that fear. You know, what is more, and again, this does factor into the coronavirus, in the year 2020, we are the thankful beneficiaries of modern medicine. Yeah. And, you know, 100 years ago, 150 years ago, the infant mortality rate was so high, and the women and wives who would die during childbirth so high, and the life expectancy, relatively speaking, so low, and death just was near. Death was close. Death was experienced. And we've gotten really good in the 21st century at keeping death distant. And again, I'm not lamenting that. I'm thankful the mortality rate is low and life expectancy is higher. But even within that, when one does die as a society, we've gotten pretty good about cordoning that off, of limiting our exposure to it, of truncating the grieving period, of minimizing, you know, the service itself and moments of recollection, funeral memorial services and what have you, to just kind of clean things up. But then you have crashing on the scenes of the coronavirus, where, let's be candid, the death toll in the grand scheme of things as relates to other illnesses and other pandemics and even what Americans statistically experience every day with close to 8,000 daily deaths, the death toll isn't that high. Mm-hmm. But still, it is new, it is different, it's unpredictable, and people are dying from it. And so there is a seriousness with which it is being viewed, and thus it's causing fear. And look, I'll say a brief word here autobiographically. A few days ago, I was feeling unwell for a few hours at the house. And again, I hadn't tracked closely the symptoms of COVID-19. But I knew the respiratory symptoms, but I wasn't sure of other symptoms. Well, I just felt very crummy and was kind of nauseated for a few hours. And I did have the thought for a moment, like, could I have the coronavirus? And it is funny when you think you have it, your assessment of the percentages is different. I mean, you know, you can casually dismiss it and say only 1% of people die. But when you think you may have it, you think 1% of people die of this, you know, and fear can enter into anyone. Now, thank the Lord, I quickly felt better and reviewed the symptoms, and my symptoms were not in any way corresponding to symptoms with COVID-19. But again, we're talking this topic of fear. Whether it's well-founded or not, whether it's well-placed or not, what would you say to pastors who right now have church members, given these realities, overwhelmed by fear?
I think they're legitimate. I think the scripture makes very clear that whatever happens in this world, a common way that we respond to it when our eyes are fixated on the circumstances of the world, that a very natural response in a cursed world is that we would fear, we would be anxious. Think about this, Dr. Allen, where we have in the scriptures the command that's given the most, if I recollect this correctly, over 160 times, the command to not fear is given in scripture. We hear the overt teaching from Jesus, from Paul, on us not worrying and not being anxious for anything. I think one of the things that we can learn from that is this is a common thing. This is a very normal thing in a post-Genesis 3 world. So when we hear those types of commands not to fear, I think that's encouragement to us to say, you know what, it's a very normal response that we fear, and the Lord is kind and gracious in helping us to see, to anchor ourselves through this command, not to fear, not to worry, not to be anxious. And in every single case, what happens is we see this transition, this movement from fearing of things, as Paul would say in Colossians chapter 3, to not think on things on the earth, but think on things above, is helping our people think in those terms. You mentioned Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. I call that an anthropological principle. It's really the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you were to take out the fear of the Lord and you put anything in that place, the fear of whatever it might be, a disease or the fear of a person or the fear of my bank account going to zero, that now becomes the centerpiece of your wisdom. It becomes the lens by which you see life. You identify with that. You think your well-being is anchored to that thing. And when you see those circumstantial things that we often fear are unpredictable, as what we see right now in the coronavirus, man, we begin to fear. And if that were reality, that's a very normal and natural response. But what we see happen in the scripture is the scripture transitions us. And the Bible doesn't continue that pattern of do not fear. In fact, we see this in some place like Exodus chapter 20, where Moses is coming down from the mountain. He's visited with God on the mountain. He's receiving commandments, and the people are seeing this thunder and this lightning, and they're paying attention to what's going on, and they're like, well, we don't want to talk to God. We want to talk to you, Moses. And Moses goes on, and this is what he says. Moses said to the people, verse 20, "Do not fear, for God has come to test you, that the fear of him may be before you, that you may not sin." Now, what Moses is doing is he's helping us to see, don't fear only the pieces and portions that you can see of God with your natural eye. He's saying, and then he encourages us in this opposition or this opposite direction, but fear God, fear him truly for who he is. This is similar to the way Jesus did this in the New Testament, Matthew 10, 28 and following, where he says, don't fear the one who can destroy just simply your body, right? That's a natural fear for us. But he responds by saying, but fear the one who can destroy both body and soul in hell. And so what the way that we overcome this, we often try to just overcome fear and anxieties by seeking peace, because peace is a good thing, right? I mean, that's what we want. And it is good, but the means by which we do that is really important. We often try and seek peace through our own means, through our own human intuition, or through our own morality, or through our own, you know, eating right and staying away from places and all this stuff, which are good things. But that's not what's in control of who we really are. We're called to fear God. And by that submission to God and fearing him, what we begin to see produced, because remember, peace is a production of the Spirit. It's a fruit of the Spirit. And so that peace comes as we submit to the Spirit. We walk faithfully with him. We fear God appropriately. Now he becomes our wisdom. He becomes the way in which we see life. He becomes the way in which we see something like a pandemic. He begins to be the way in which we see our very life itself. And so now the lens begins to switch a bit. And so I would encourage pastors to listen to their people, hear their people, hear their fears, hear their anxieties. As they're hearing those, listening to the way in which oftentimes a person's anxiety is dependent upon something circumstantial, and help to do that work that Paul calls us to in Colossians 3, where he helps us to think on things above, to think on things that are true, not speculation, 2 Corinthians 10, not speculated things, but think on things that we know are true, and do as the word models for us. Even Jesus model to teach people to fear the Lord. I think a great exercise is for pastors right now to teach their people the character of God, who he is, who this God is. We've been reading a lot in the Psalms, and one of the things we as a family, and one of the things that we've learned is God is a refuge. God is a very present help in time of trouble. God's love is forever and steadfast, he says. And even when we can't see it or it doesn't appear evident to us. And so reminding ourselves of those things, I think in moments like this is critical. And C.S. Lewis said, paraphrasing, he said like this one time, a great moral teacher doesn't introduce new morality. What a great moral teacher does is he reminds us of the old. And the idea, I think, for pastors right now is to remind people who they're anchored to. Hebrews 6:19 says, Jesus is the anchor of our soul. And very surely here, learn to fear God appropriately through the work of Christ, and that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. So we don't have to fear the judgment nor the punishment of God. We are at peace, Romans 5:1. We are at peace with God. So the critical piece of the puzzle, I think, right now for pastors is to slow down, listen to their people. Their cares are legitimate. Their fears are real. Their anxieties are very normal. And then help them respond in the way 1 Peter tells us to cast these cares upon the Lord, and learn to do that by fearing him appropriately. And what comes is what Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, a peace that surpasses what we can't even understand in moments like this. And that's distinct from the world. And that's the truth of what God gives us and the hope that he gives us for moments like this, that pastors have a word from the Lord that he's given to us that's an anchor to minister well, to stabilize our very easily vexed souls in times just like this.
Dale, that is very well said. And I want to try to pull this together with just one final question. Again, specifically for pastors out there, what would you say to pastors who are listening that are asking themselves right now, what should I preach this Sunday? What should I say to my congregation this Sunday that would give them a word of hope, of encouragement, of assurance, and enable them to right-size their fear in light of the truths of Scripture?
I would say two things. The first thing I would say is as they're walking with the Lord personally, they're the shepherds. What is the Lord teaching them? And I think as the Lord is teaching them to wrestle with this in their own humanity, and they're finding themselves having to run to Scripture for answers about this and to settle their heart and mind, that's a part of what the Lord is teaching them as a pastor, and to feed to feed their people with that type of truth that the Lord is doing convictionally in them. That's always a healthy thing. I think the second thing that they could do as well is hear their people, listen to their people, see their people, pay attention to what questions their people are asking. And then by demonstration and model, what they would do is go to the scriptures, not through proof texting and topical style, but go see what the scripture says to explain and remind the people of who this God is and how he answers the very questions that they're asking, the very real cares that they have, not to dismiss these cares as if they're foolish, but to recognize these are real cares. The passage that I mentioned in 1 Peter, where he tells us to cast our cares upon the Lord, it's not assuming that we don't have cares. He assumes we have cares, and we just need to learn where to take them. Jesus says the same thing in Matthew chapter 11, where he tells us to come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. He assumes we're going to be burdened. So to pay attention to the questions of their people. And as you do that, now we're shepherding them. Now we're taking them to the scriptures and begin to develop a response from the scriptures on what the Lord says to answer the questions of their own flock. I think that's so important. It becomes something that's tangible, becomes something that's real. Now they see how deep the Word of God is and how kind the Lord is to speak words to us that matter on the ground, where we're living, where we're fighting this wrestling back and forth with the flesh and all of our fears, and that the Lord was kind to think about us in this way. And the pastor has the opportunity to take those types of words that God has so kindly given to us and feed them to his people. And those are words that throughout the next few weeks, as we think about circumstantial uncertainty, that his people can feed on and feed on over and over and over again to sustain them and strengthen them in moments just like this.
Dr. Johnson, thank you for joining me on Preaching and Preachers.
You're very welcome. Dr. Allen, can I mention one more thing? A couple of books, if pastors are interested, Triumphing Over Sinful Fear by John Flavel has been very impactful for me. And Ed Welch also wrote a book called When People Are Big and God is Small. I think they'll pastors will benefit from hearing the biblical teaching about fear on these from these men.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you for being with us today and for listening to Preaching and Preachers. For more information, go to my website, jasonkallen.com. That's jasonkallen.com.